Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Right, quickly, before we get on with the episode, we've got an announcement. The MMA Fan Podcast is now sponsored by Free Train. Blake, what's Free Train?
Free Train is a fantastic company that do these amazing vests for when you run, when you train. Whether you're going for a run or hitting the bag, you can keep your phone close to your chest. And yeah, they're brilliant. They've got a little pocket for your keys. You no more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket or at an awkward angle on your arm or anything like that. You've got the vest on. Phones there, easy access to it. They do some great gloves as well to keep your hands warm and be able to touch the phone and everything. It's all linked up with your phone. So yeah, they're a fantastic brand. A couple of pockets for your keys, everything you need when you go for a run or if you're hitting the bag training.
And you're not just saying this for the sake of it. Before they even become our sponsors, you had one of these vests, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I've still got it. I run with it all the time. But yeah, before they became our sponsors, I had one of these vests. They are genuinely brilliant. I really like them. And yeah, I'm really pleased they're our sponsor.
And if you want one, if you head over to freetrain.com, when you go shopping and you put all your stuff in your basket, just before you check out, if you put in the code MMAFAN, you'll save yourself 10%. Don't say we don't spoil you here on this podcast. 10% off an amazing vest from Free Train. www.freetrain.com.
Right, let's get on with the show. Hello and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am one half of your presenting hosts, Blake Harrison. And the other half is...
Stuart Whiffin. Hello.
Oh, a Stuart.
I don't know why Whiffin. Very serious. Stuart. It's Stu Whiffin. Let's stick with that.
You kind of shook your glasses as you do. It's like, oh, Stuart. Stuart. Stuart Whiffin.
I've took them off now. Honestly, I don't know who I am today. Well, this is a great episode. This is, we should say that we had limited time with today's guest, and this guest come about through an association for a few of our podcasts this month with the film Embattled. And do you want to tell the listeners a little bit more about Embattled, Blake, before I get back to who our guest is?
I can, Stuart. Yes, Embattled is a movie about a father and son that are both MMA fighters, and the father and son have a very tumultuous relationship. The father is played by our guest today, and you will also see cameos in the film from Tyron Woodley and from Kenny Florian. The film's written by David McKenna, who wrote American History X and Blow. And yeah, it's just about two MMA fighters that are also father and son, and the incredibly strained relationship. And that's putting it very mildly, strained relationship that they have, and a kind of dark history that is going on between them. But yeah, do you want to introduce who the guest is? The guest that plays Cash Boykins, the lead character?
Yeah, and he, you know, the character he plays is a pretty unlikable fella, and we go in on that and how he sort of pulled bits and pieces from a multitude of fighters and to kind of put this character together, and it's a fascinating listen. The person we're talking about is Stephen Dorff, which, you know, when you get the message saying, do you want to speak to Stephen Dorff, it's like, of course we do, and it's a great chat. It's a short chat. We should point out that he was doing a lot of press around the time for Embattled when we recorded this. So we were limited on time, so it's not a super long episode. And we should also just give you a little heads up that a couple of times Stephen's Wi-Fi dropped out a little bit. But I think by the time the producer's got his hands on it and tidied up it a little bit, you shouldn't even notice. But just a little heads up on that. Also, if this is your first time listening to the MMA Fan Podcast, when you finish listening to this episode with Stephen, why not go and explore the back catalogue? Because you can hear some great chats as well with the likes of Jack Shaw, Jojo Calderwood, Alexander Volkanovski, the UFC champ. Help me out here, Blake. Who else we had on?
Paddy Pimblett, who will hopefully soon be making his UFC debut. Yeah. We've had Big Paul Craig on today. Angela Hill,
Molly McCann,
Brett Johns, JJ Wilson. We've had a huge amount of fantastic British and American and an Australian fighters on the show, and we've also got our fight or flight segment with people like Lee Mack, Ben Shepherd, I think coming up soon.
Yep.
Emily Head, Laura Checkley, Thomas Turgoose, the list goes on and on. James Arthur has been on the show as well. So we've got this real nice combination of familiar faces that you will know from within the MMA world and outside the MMA world. We had John Gooden as well, UFC commentator. We should also point out that Embattled is available on digital download from the 5th of July. So
absolutely.
There we go.
If you want to watch the trailer or see some stills from the film, head over to our socials, because we've posted some bits and pieces on there, so you can go and watch the trailer on our Instagram page. So we're on there, we're on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. So give us a follow on the socials as well. Blake, should we get on with today's episode?
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Stephen Dorff.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, mate.
Oh, good, mate. Thanks for your time today.
No problem, yeah.
Well, I'm going to go straight in, and I'm going to go straight in with a ridiculous question, Stephen. I've seen the film. I've seen you looking good in the octagon. I've seen you in shape. I've seen your co-star, Tyron Woodley. He's now going to be fighting YouTubers. Are you going to step up? Are you going to do it? Are you going to fight one of these kind of, like, boxers that are now kind of looking elsewhere?
Hell no. I mean, I think it's funny that they're doing funny fights, but, you know, I mean, God bless, you know, the fighters. They have to make a living, and but, you know, you won't be seeing me in there. Hell no.
You did. You looked in phenomenal shape, though, mate. You look really, really great. I mean, how did you find the training for it and stuff? Was there an element of the training that you particularly enjoyed, or an element of the training that you found particularly difficult, whether it be the grappling or the striking?
Well, I mean, I've done like worked with Greg Jackson's team in New Mexico. Like, I met Cowboy Cerrone and a lot of these guys when I did a movie called Felon years ago, a prison movie. And we used a lot of MMA in those prison fights. So I knew some stuff, and I'm a fan of the sport. I was coming off True Detective, so I had a window that I had carved out, a 6-week window that I said minimum I need 6 weeks, because I'm pretty skinny and I take over, play a lightweight champion of the world, a guy that was jumping off this page like a monster without having some size put on me. So, you know, I immediately, True Detective ran late, so my window got shrunk to about 5 weeks instead of what it should have been, which was like 10 weeks. And, I kept saying I need more time in LA to gain size, and I'm not really worried about the MMA. I'll get down there when I get down there and I'll learn the fights, but I'm more interested right now in changing my body. So, cause I don't think it's realistic if I don't. So I, you know, immediately got with my trainers who I've worked with in the past and just started eating 6-7 times a day. I put about 9 pounds on in a month. Got down to Alabama, where the movie took place, and I got with a guy who's kind of the Greg Jackson of Alabama, a guy named Chris Connolly, who was a coach for a lot of great UFC fighters, Eric Anders, a lot of good fighters. And he was amazing. The fight choreographer, Fernando Chin, was really special, and I thought carved out really unique fights. And basically then I showed them what I could do. I showed them how I move. They saw weaknesses in my grappling, obviously. I haven't done that much on the ground. You know, we'd go over certain moves, incorporate certain things. But Cash is much more of a, you know, he's a McGregor-style fighter. He's much more of a scrapper. He's much more of, I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to get you down to the mat, and I'm going to fucking pummel you until you tap out. That's it. You know, I want to be in there as quick as possible, you know, is the kind of mentality Cash has. You know, so it was really a question of, you know, as I started the training for the fighting, obviously that's an immense amount of cardio. So then I find myself shrinking in size, all the size I tried to put on. So it's really that balance of just, you know, the cardio and the fight training, and then bang, hit the gym, and then eat, and then gym, eat, and constantly, you know, that rhythm until we got to the arena and I felt like I was ready to go. And we shot all the fights in the beginning of the film, which I thought was the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Get them all in the can, get all that shit done, and then we can concentrate on the text and the storytelling of the movie. And then I would keep my training up, but obviously not as rigorously because I'm not in panties.
But that's amazing that you were able to achieve all that in such a short period of time. That takes some level of dedication. And, you know, we're touching on physically what you have to go through there. But as you said, you know, Cash Boykins really must have jumped off the page at you in terms of, he's a larger-than-life character. He's a volatile character. His relationship with his kids is incredibly tumultuous, you know. So how is it how do you have any trouble kind of not taking that stuff home with you, if you know what I mean? Like do you ever go home and you've got, like, bits of that in your brain at all?
I mean, usually I can turn things on and off, you know, but I got to say on this one, it was a tricky one for me because I just come – again, from True Detective for 7 months, I was a little tired. I knew the challenge ahead, and I had agreed to the movie and wanted to make the movie. But I also knew I had to go full on with this character, or the story just doesn't make sense and not believable. You know, what I loved about the script was it was very non-Hollywood. It was very real to who a guy like Cash is. I mean, a guy that comes from a very insane background and brings that to all of his children and his life, and he's verbally abusive. He's a fucking asshole, you know? And so to go there, I had to kind of become him more than I normally would. I'm not really what you call a method actor. And I hate when people, there's so many different variations of what method means to me. And I'll, you know, I guess I used some method stuff in this one because I definitely was holding onto this aggressive energy for 2 months. And plus the regimen I was under with the eating and the training and the things, and then the scenes, every scene just pummeling people and verbally and abuse. And, you know, I had to go to a certain place that I was definitely taking home with me at night. And frankly, it took a couple of weeks for me to shed this fucking guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, this one was a bit harder than most for me. So I guess just because he's a very different kind of person than I am, and very different. Just every choice he makes, I didn't quite agree with, but I just, you know, once I created him, I just kind of let him rip and let him roll. You know, I don't think I was the most fun to be around probably while I was shooting this movie, you know.
What was the most difficult part of his personality to tap into, would you say? Because, I mean, he's got so many flaws. So when you're tapping into all those flaws, what was the most difficult aspect for you to get into, do you think?
I mean, I think the abuse towards the younger kids, you know, and I think, you know, working with a kid that really has Williams syndrome, Colin, who's David McKenna's son in real life, you know, he's such a sweet kid and is so good in the movie. And yet I'm the biggest monster towards him, you know, and that was something like, and then also my other little son later in the picture in present day, you know, I had to, you know, really explain to these young people that it's not who I am, and that, you know, I'm going to be aggressive and say some curse words, and I'm going to do things in these scenes that are scary, and I don't want you to think it's me, because as soon as we say cut, I'll be back to normal. I try to just make them feel comfortable as much as a 9 and 10 year old kid can understand.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment.
Look younger. Feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And, you know, I mean, I think just everything was uncomfortable about him, but yet there was a certain control I felt in playing him, and I felt like I had him from day one. So once I had him, I just built on that and made him more aggressive and made him more outlandish and more charismatic every chance I got. You know, I mean, I ran, you know, everything to the music at the party scene at my house. You know, I wanted it to be my way. And I was him, you know, is all I can say. So I don't think I was the easiest maybe to work with, but, you know, nothing that slowed the movie down. But I just don't think it was, you know, the Steven you normally would get on a movie set. I was definitely a little darker on this one. Yeah. You know, if I'm playing a villain and I'm playing a vampire or I'm playing whatever, you know, I can snap into that with my eyes closed. You know, I mean, that it don't mean shit to me. I can mimic anything. I can do anything very fast. But playing a guy with, you know, a champion and knowledge and a fighter and all this shit that came into this part was a lot more challenging for me for some reason. I don't know. It's a weird one. But, you know, it also, So,
I mean, one of the things that I think movies around martial arts will always do is inspire people to go and learn it. And it certainly, if I cast my mind back to when I was younger, there were certain films that struck a chord with me that made me want to go and learn a discipline. I just wonder, with that in mind, Stephen, what were the kind of fight movies that made a dent with you growing up?
I think the Rocky movies, you know, the Karate Kid movies when I was a kid, you know, a lot of John Avildsen movies who I ended up working with on The Power of One, where I played a boxer. So it was kind of the first time I was in with guys like, you know, Bill Wallace and Benny the Jet, you know, I forget his last name, but all these like cool fighters taught me how to throw a punch and put me through rigorous training at 17. And from then I kind of, you know, just kind of learned on other movies and fight scenes. And, you know, I mean, obviously making movies and doing fights is a different dance than when you're really doing it, but it all comes from the same place, same training. You just don't connect. At least you hope you don't, but obviously you do sometimes when you're doing a movie like Embattled, you connect and you don't want to, but it just happens because I go right when I'm supposed to go left and bang, accident happened. But, and vice versa. But, you know, I mean, there's been a hell of a lot of great boxing movies. I mean, you know, Raging Bull. I love Cinderella Man. I thought was a great movie. I mean, I loved Hoosiers, was a great basketball movie. Made me want to play basketball when I was young. Sports movies in general can be classic if they're done well. You know, then there's tends to be also like 90 boxing movies, true stories about this guy, that guy, and whether or not they had interesting lives, they tend to be the same movie, and nobody really cares, you know. I don't know, Miles Teller did one a couple years ago. This one, Liev Schreiber did one. They're all like the same fucking movie, you know. Southpaw, this one, that one. I feel like boxing is completely diminished as a sport. I don't think it exists really anymore. I mean, I don't watch boxing. I used to watch boxing all the time. I watch MMA now because MMA has kind of taken over what boxing used to be. I mean, I'd always watch Mayweather fight, but he's not fighting anymore. And he's fighting YouTubers in exhibitions. You know what I mean? So, you know, Tyson Fury, sure, I'll watch a fight with the heavyweights. But ultimately, I'm watching MMA when I want to see a fight. And I'm rooting on my friends like Cerrone or, you know, and I'm, you know, to have Tyron Woodley and Kenny Florian down there to watch these rounds and to be able to go up to Kenny and say, how was that shit on the ground? And how was, you know, did that move work? Did that arm bar look fake? You know, should I redo that? You know, it was awesome because you have the real dudes that are, you know, legendary in the sport. You know, I just try to bring realism to whatever I'm doing. So if I'm doing something in MMA, I'm going to bring a realism to it. I'm going to try to do it to the best of my ability. But there's no way that in my life I would ever enter a cage with somebody like a Cowboy Cerrone because I'd be dead. You know, these guys are animals. These guys are animals for a reason. You know, they're, you know, that guy Khabib is the best fighter I've ever seen, you know, and he's a machine. I think the sport became so big because of the extreme of it. You know, it took boxing and flipped it on its ass, you know, and brought in all this other incredible sporting stuff in one sport. So you got wrestling, you got grappling, you got jujitsu, you got kickboxing, you got boxing, you got, I mean, you know, and it's a strength game, and it's it also, you know, one move to the left and it can all be over. You know, look at the fight with Cerrone and Conor McGregor. You know, I was really looking forward to that fight because I thought Cowboy was going to take his head off, this underdog guy. He's been in, never had a real main marquee fight like this. And then look what happened. You know, it was over in 30 seconds.
Well, you mentioned Conor there, and like, you know, you said you're a big fan of MMA. Obviously, Conor's got a huge fight coming up in that trilogy fight with Poirier. How do you see that going? What do you think?
I mean, he's basically rematching against the guy that beat him, right?
Yes. So he beat Poirier maybe like 6 years ago. Then Poirier beat him recently, and now they're having that trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fight I'll want to watch for sure. I mean, I'm a fan of Conor McGregor. I like his pizzazz. I used a lot of obviously Conor in creating the look for Cash, even though, you know, Cash is a hillbilly from Alabama. He's not an Irishman. And I'm not playing Conor McGregor, but I definitely, you know, took some stuff from Conor as far as his showmanship, his talent in the ring, in the cage, you know, the way he dresses, his flair, his outlandish attitude, the fact that he'll say anything in a press conference, you know. And then I also took from Mayweather and his business sense and his kind of knowledge of what he does and that method that he had for all those years and made him to be one of the best boxers of all time. And then, you know, took from Cerrone, knowing Cerrone personally and just feeling his intensity when we would hang out and just have a beer. You know, there's an extremeness to some of these guys. And, you know, I've met them all. I've met a lot of them. Keith Jardine to the older guys, Rashad Evans to Randy Couture back in the day. You know, there's just, you know, kind of incorporating all these different facets and then creating my fictional superhero kind of thing, as you will, Liquid Cash Boykin. So it's kind of a, you know, it was a blend, but, you know, I'll definitely, I don't know, that'll be a good fight. I mean, if Conor comes back and beats him, that would be huge for Conor, but that guy's pretty tough too. Yeah. So
it'd be huge for the UFC as well to have their poster boy on a wing. It's been I know he beat Cowboy, but before that, he hadn't had a win in absolutely ages. And I kind of think he needs this win to kind of get...
When is that fight?
That's in a couple of weeks. I think it's like July 10th, something like that.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Coming up soon.
Yeah, I heard about it, but I didn't... I've been kind of working, and I've been in Maui and all over the place, and I haven't really been checking things, but that I'll definitely watch that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, Stephen, we're aware that we're out of time. We've got the little message has popped up that we're running out of time. So, but you know, just lastly, just love the film. Thanks ever so much for your time today, and really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate it too, man.
Thanks very much, Stephen. Cheers, mate.
Okay, mate. See you guys.
Bye bye.
Stephen Dorff. There you go. Legit Hollywood actor has been on our little old podcast.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it, really? That's pretty
yeah,
incredible.
It really is.
It's really great, it really is. But, and yeah, and he, you know, he seemed to really be an MMA fan. He said, you know, he's really fallen out of love with boxing. He's a big MMA fan. I can totally relate to that, you know, that I'm not massively into my boxing. I know you are still a big boxing fan, but for me, MMA just has so much more. And, you know, he talks a little bit about, you know, knowing Cowboy Cerrone and knowing those fighters and how we can draw off of them and how, you know, elements of Conor were an inspiration for the character. And also, I think it's really interesting to talk about the fact that, you know, he had, in the end, was it 4 weeks in the end to actually get himself in proper shape, eating 7 meals a day. So that's crazy kind of dedication. And then he's got to deal with learning the MMA and the grappling and all that on top of that. So, I mean, hats off to him. That is quite an undertaking. I mean, I have to say, it's an amazing achievement. It's also kind of a dream, isn't it? Like, I mean, if someone said to me, Blake, you've got 4 weeks, we're going to pay for you to do like the best like MMA training going. Also, I'm assuming he got like his meals provided and stuff. That's hard work, but it's also amazing. Like, I mean, to me, he was kind of living a dream, really, for me there. And that's incredible. And the fact that he was, you know, he had doing fight scenes and he's got Kenny Florian and Tyron Woodley outside.
To reference,
Octagon.
You know, How was that?
How was that armbar? Was that armbar all right, Kenny? Yeah, mate, it's good. Oh, cheers, mate. Cheers, Ken. That's brilliant, isn't it? That just shows the legitimacy that the films strive to have nowadays, you know, and I think that's fantastic that, you know, we've seen combat movies and you can go back and watch Rocky films and stuff like that. And as much as the Rocky films are obviously amazing, those fight scenes are a bit ridiculous at times. And
what?
Sorry to burst your bubble, mate. But yeah, they are, you know, and so it's good to see that people, and I think when I was watching the film as well, the grappling exchanges in particular, I was impressed with. I thought it seemed legit.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I guess we can start to wrap things up. As mentioned at the beginning, if this is your first time listening and you haven't explored the back catalogue of this podcast, go and do that. Go get stuck in. Go have a little rummage around in the archives, because we've got archives already. It feels like we've only been doing this like a few weeks, but we've got archives now. There's over 20 episodes now, and we've been so blessed and so lucky to get to sit down and talk to these people that... Well, they're people that me and you are completely in awe of, aren't they? It's like, you know, we never thought when we was going to do this podcast that we'd ever get a chance to speak to, you know, UFC fighters, you know, and we've managed to do that. And, you know, and we've just finished, you know, a recording with a Hollywood actor. It's crazy. And, yeah, long may this journey continue. And thanks to you lot for continually supporting it and... You know, giving us likes, loves, and reshares on the socials is great, and it's in a tiny little way, shape, or form. It feels really nice and privileged that we're involved in the MMA community in some tiny little way.
I couldn't agree more. We've been kind of really considering the misconception of MMA and how people outside of the sport will perceive the sport. We've been doing this just a few months now, and everyone's been so bloody nice and so welcoming, whether it be people that do other podcasts or other MMA kind of type journalists and stuff like that. I say other, we're not journalists, but like MMA journalists that have just gone like, oh, well done, guys. That's amazing. Brilliant. Well done. And I've listened. It's really good and all that kind of stuff. And then you've got fans of the sport then tuning into us and not thinking we're total morons and that we, you know, we're doing an all right job of, you know, of talking to these fighters.
You say that. I've had to delete a few messages so you didn't see them. I've been protecting you from a lot of stuff, Mike.
It's all those nights at the nightclub bouncing, isn't it? You can't turn it off. But no, it has been. I think everyone's been so welcoming, so lovely. And as I say, like we're just really thankful to everyone out there that is subscribing, listening, you know, messaging us on the socials. I mean, all of that stuff. It genuinely means the world to me, because this is just something we did for me and you to have a bit of a laugh and talk about a sport that we love, because we didn't have many people that we could talk about this sport to. And it's turned into this incredible thing that we're absolutely loving. So, yeah, thank you to everyone listening.
Wonderful. Right, and we will be back next time.
Bye.